So now they want your car to automatically report your speed automatically. So what do you think is going to come next? What? Is it your location? Is it your behavior? Is it your payments? Maybe it's how many times you burp.
Imagine the founding fathers of the United States who fought a war over a couple percent tax to teleport them to today. I mean, they would be appalled beyond measure.
Not just Trump, but all the pieces around him. People were saying, oh my gosh, it's the second time he's going to know so much now. He's going to really be able to beat the deep state now with all this power. And we get the same shit all over again.
So TikTok next block, which side do you want to be on? Which system do you want to comply with? System of thieves or the system of nobleness, right? Of truth.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Tony with me as always, and special guest Ben Werman. Ben, good to have you back, brother. Alrighty, let's jump right into the news. So, Ford cop cars could add tech to help handing out speeding tickets, and basically they've filed for a patent to help law enforcement identify speeders. It detects all this stuff, and they say they're not going to share any of this information with anyone. It's just for, you know, the exchange is only between law enforcement officials and so forth. But to me, I don't think there's anyone I would rather have on the show right now than Ben to talk about state surveillance. And give us your best conspiracy on this, man.
I mean, this isn't even crazy conspiracy theorist territory anymore. It's just become so obvious that even my most normie friends and family members who I know who are like, don't understand any of this Bitcoin stuff we talk about. They never follow any of these stories. They're completely blue pilled. Like that's one archetype we can look at that the Bitcoiners usually make fun of, like, oh, the people on the left, they don't get any of this stuff. It's easy to feed them, hey, you know, Trump is bad, right? Yes, Trump is bad. Yeah, they love Palantir and they do surveillance. So even they're starting to figure out that like all this surveillance stuff is hitting every single angle. It's affecting everybody. And I think it's happened enough times on both sides of the aisle now that everybody knows that this is now, it doesn't matter who's in control anymore. It's going to be used against you eventually. And it can only take back and forth so many times before people realize, okay, that's actually true. We all need to stand up against this. And as we see more stories like this come out, they just make it more and more obvious. I mean, we just have to fight back against this, keep exposing it, keep supporting and building freedom tools that free us from this stuff, because it's just getting crazy out there.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that this article is just sitting here in, you know, carandriver.com. This isn't like some conspiracy theory. Like they just announce it as like news, as though that there are no unintended consequences. This is just what's going on in the automotive industry or something. But I couldn't agree with you more, Ben. Tony, what's your take?
Man, they're trying to normalize this. This is how pathetic things have gotten. I mean, this is exactly where we're headed. If you still believe the state cares for you or is your friend, like, you might as well just believe in Santa Claus at this point, because you're completely out to lunch. They don't like you. They don't like anyone. The only thing they're obsessed over is power and total control. And that's exactly where we're headed. These fiat systems that we live in, you know, they're not just about bad money. These things are infested, you know, with the like relentless pursuit of greed and total control. Like, this is the ecosystem that is, you know, that we live in. It's absolutely disgusting. So now they want your car to automatically report your speed automatically. So what do you think is going to come next? What? Is it your location? Is it your behavior? Is it your payments? Maybe it's how many times you burp. You know, maybe that's bad for the environment one day. They want to control that somehow. This is all massive surveillance, okay? The relentless pursuit of that, it's never going to end. It doesn't matter who you vote for. They're all on the same side. So as long as, you know, the fiat system is allowed to exist, this rubbish is only going to continue to get worse. And the only way to fix it, well, there's two ways. One is with mass non-compliance. If enough people just say, you know what, fuck off with your bullshit, we're not doing it anymore, then the system may break. But if you castrate it by opting out of the money that fuels it, that also destroys it completely. And now, since 2009, we have this option, Bitcoin, right? So if enough people understand that Bitcoin is money, it's real, it's not a fairy tale anymore, and learn a few steps to hold it and actually start using that instead of the dollar or any other, you know, worthless piece of paper, well, then all of these systems, they just You know, they wither away because no one is able to fund them anymore. So, but yeah, otherwise, if we do nothing, like if you don't opt out, you accept remaining a slave for the rest of your life because this is not going away.
And becoming more and more of a slave passively over time as they keep nibbling more and more, because that's how they do it. They're boiling the frog in the water. They're doing it very slowly, methodically, but making more and more progress over time. And that's why we need to take aggressive action to reverse that trend.
Yeah, it's amazing to imagine. You'd like imagine the founding fathers of the United States who fought a war over a couple percent tax to teleport them to today. I mean, they would be appalled beyond measure. But because it's happened slowly and incrementally and for your own good, you know, all this stuff, like people don't even realize just how insane and not free they are. I think the biggest benefit of the Trump administration, in my view so far, is that it has highlighted the uniparty system, because people thought they were getting freedom and they're in no more wars. And now we're bombing Yemen and we're dabbling in the Middle East here again with Israel, Iran, like, you know, we're done with big government. And now Palantir's creating a database on all Americans, like all these things that the MAGA crowd associates with, like, oh, that's what like the crazy left communists do. It's like, no, like this is what everyone who has power does. And speaking of corruption, let's jump here to our next story. So on May 23rd, Trump threatened Apple and Samsung with a 25% tariff on phones not made in the USA. Exactly 24 days later, the Trump Organization announced Trump Mobile. They'll be using phones made in the U.S. Truly incredible. So the crony capitalism, the insider deals, the opportunity to wield power for financial benefit continues. It's not just the Democrats. It's not just some Republicans. It's all politicians, right? So, Tony, I'll let you take this one first, man. What's your thought?
Man, is it disappointing and disgraceful? Of course it is. But is it surprising and predictable? Of course it is. I mean, what did you expect? This is like classic fiat power games, you know, using the state power to rig markets, crush competition, and, you know, create these controlled monopolies. So even leaders who are supposedly pro-business, pro-making America great again, you know, given the right tools and the right opportunity, voila, this is what you get. Complete corruption and bullshit. So, again, it still ties down to the same fundamental problem. And why Bitcoin exists now is to put an end to this type of manipulation and control. This will never end. There will always be an infinite, you know, ways to get creative with how you can steal, abuse, rig, you know, co-opt, and what have you. And as long as the tools that fuel it all remain alive and people comply with it, we're never coming off of the system. Thankfully, there's enough of us that are, okay? But we're still a far cry from the majority of the world to actually believe that this is going on and not thinking of people like us as crazy conspiracy theories. I'm not expecting 100% people to jump on board with us, but we don't need them to be 100%. We just need enough of them. And then the rest will just follow as, oh yeah, that was a great idea, you know, like, which is what normies tend to do anyhow. But very disappointing, man. I mean, I had high hopes for Trump, even though I don't like any politician. His marketing was definitely up there. But sooner or later, man, the truth comes out. You know, the fake, you know, facade dissolves. And here you have it.
Yeah, not to defend Trump administration one, and it's probably just because I was not paying attention. I was sort of asleep at the wheel on all of this stuff back then. But my sense is there wasn't such an overt money grab and, you know, use of power for financial benefit. But it seems to me like there has been a lot of, I mean, even just like launching the meme coin, what, a day or two before the inauguration, like those sorts of things. So my understanding, I never looked into that deeply, but my understanding is they made like billions of dollars on the launch of that meme coin. And I know that it's his kids who are running the company or whatever, you know, like he's, you know, semi-divested or whatever, but like it's all the same pocket it's going into, right? So just crazy to see, like, just no hiding it anymore. We're just gonna make as much money as we can, and it's no better than Nancy Pelosi and all the things we've ragged on her for years. So Ben, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, Tony totally nailed it. There's not a whole lot I could add to that. I agree with everything. However, I would like to just tie it back to what we were sort of touching on earlier, which is how I feel like all of these things we're seeing just this year are truly the final nail in the coffin of, okay, all of these politicians are the same thing. And because so many people did think that, okay, this is the most hope people have ever had that I've seen, that there's actually going to be a change, a president, they would actually make a difference. Yeah, we saw the RFK hiring, people got super excited about that. People are super excited about Tulsi, like all these, not just Trump, but all the pieces around him. People were saying, oh my gosh, it's the second time he's going to know so much now. He's going to really be able to beat the deep state now with all this power and all these, the right people around him. And we get the same shit all over again. So it's good to see a lot of the big conservative influencers who have a lot of power in that side and on Twitter and other social media are figuring it out. And one personal favorite of mine is the Hodge twins. I don't know if you guys follow them, but they're my favorite conservative side commentators out there. And they've just been going through this whole rabbit hole of like, yeah, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is not what we voted for. Getting millions of views on their posts, like just calling it out for what it is. And it's obviously there's some, they're never going to do that. But just seeing the tide shifting of those people, like you said, Michael, just figuring out, oh, this isn't just the left is doing this. It's actually our guys too. We need to stand up for it. And it's good to see that a lot of people are, and it's just waking up a lot more good people who have their right mindset on this, but just fell for a little bit of the marketing as usual, but they're coming around.
It's very simple, man. When you have all these promising leaders that, you know, resort to weaponizing the markets, it just shows you how rotten the system is. Like, it's rotten, like, to beyond its core. It's like almost, like, it's disgusting how apparent it is. You know, like, you cannot not see it unless you're, like, either completely blind or living under a rock. It's almost infuriating that not more people are reacting to this, you know, because it's so abundantly clear that, like, what do? You know, it's really up to each and every one of us to make sure that we put an end to this. And right now we have the means to do it peacefully. No one's going to war. No one's advocating going to kill each other. We have a peaceful way to do it. But, you know, you need to get enough momentum behind this movement in order to really fast track it. So each and every one of us is Bitcoin, man. Learn the skills, hold it yourself. Every time you do this, you put an end to this bullshit that is ruining your life every single day.
Couldn't agree more with that. It's crazy times. I think you guys both nailed it. So let's talk about something completely different. So Bitcoin Research, this guy said, there's no way to guarantee that all custodians aren't creating paper Bitcoin out of thin air. But you can protect yourself by taking custody of your coins, blah, blah, blah. Gladstein came back. He said, you know, basically there's no stopping Bitcoin, paper Bitcoin creation, some of which is going to be totally normal, because if you lend out 0.1 Bitcoin, you know, but you need to be paid back 0.11 Bitcoin, like, where does that Bitcoin come from? And interesting enough, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Shinobi commented here, and he said that, you're not creating paper Bitcoin, you're betting that Kyle can earn an additional 0.01 Bitcoin, as well as the 0.1 Bitcoin that you lent him if he defaults, and you lose whatever the principal he can't repay. So, Tony, my head was kind of wrapped, like, in fiat mindset as I was thinking about, like, lending out Bitcoin and everything. Bitcoin, lending on a Bitcoin standard is a very different thing. How do you see this debate, and what would your thought be?
Yeah, I think from what I've understood from Gladstein's post, I tend to agree with him that if you're lending peer-to-peer like this, it's not paper Bitcoin, because, like, it's an individual to an individual. Worst case, he can't pay you, you lose your Bitcoin, and it ends that. But for you to lend it to him, you actually have to have it. You have to send it to him. It's very different from when you have, like, the real thieves, you know, like the custodians and the institutions, you know, when they have, they start doing multiple claims on the same coins, they're doing the rehypothecation and all of these stupid games. That's where you get this this massive systemic risk that starts building up over time. That's the risk of the paper Bitcoin. But, you know, the one-to-one peer-to-peer thing, I don't think that's, I mean, that's human nature. It's going to happen no matter what. But I don't think that poses a problem or a real danger in any way, shape, or form. Worst case, you lose a friend. They can't pay you back. You know, you don't talk to them again. And, you know, end of story.
Yeah, I think the best way to test the hypothesis of paper Bitcoin is everyone should go to Coinbase and try pulling their coins off of the exchange, take it into self-custody, do it the way you should be doing it anyway. But yes, lending is a very different thing, because for them to give you 0.1 Bitcoin to use to start a business or to do whatever, they have to have 0.1 Bitcoin. And the bet is that you're going to be able to pay that back with some Bitcoin-denominated interest, presumably, or fiat-denominated interest, I suppose. I don't know what these products are intending to do. But Ben, you have any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, like you said, I think that there's always going to be some risk involved there, but it's just going to be at the trading party level, not the systemic level. Because I'll actually pull another comment here under that post that I thought was good, which is from Nicholas Dorier. I think that's how you pronounce his name, the BTC pay server guy, I believe. He said, so long as trust exists, credit does too. Credit is a measure of trust. And I think it'll be interesting once we have this base layer money of Bitcoin, which is just more trustworthy in general because it's fully transparent and there's just much less BS behind the scenes that is able to be done. Having that base layer solidified will change the dynamic of how trust works. And I think there will be some cases where, yes, there's going to be times where both parties in that relationship can win. And as long as they understand that there's a level of risk there. And so I think that there definitely will always be some form of credit markets in the future, even on Bitcoin, for sure.
Well, just to add a little something to that, as a general rule, if you want to avoid a headache, if you can't afford something, don't buy it. Forget this whole concept of IOUs. You know, you don't have the money for it. So like, be responsible and just wait until you do and then go out and buy it, only if you've mulled it over to see if it's really necessary and you're not just acting on impulse, which is what 95% of, you know, indebted people do, is acting on impulse. Oh, I need this. This is so cool. Let me buy it. You know, and then before you realize it, they've racked up a whole list of invoices that they can't repay. So, I mean, good habits. You avoid all of this nonsense to begin with. But we've been living in a world that rewards you for being in debt. Oh, you don't have the money. No problem. Here you go. Here's another 1,000. Oh, you need another 5,000. No problem. Here you go. And you keep racking it up until, you know, at some point, you're going to smash into a wall and all hell's going to break loose. So just avoid it to begin with.
Yeah, Tony, I would add to that. That's a really important point. And people need to think, if you can't afford it, is it really worth the risk of taking on the loan? The other thing to keep in mind is that on a fiat standard today, it's pretty easy to go find another job pushing papers, not providing a lot of value to society, you know, just being a 9-to-5 rat race kind of worker. On a Bitcoin standard, so let's project ourselves into the future here, you are going to have to provide real, tangible value to the world in order for someone to be willing to part ways with their Bitcoin. And so if you're doing that and you're earning in Bitcoin, it's not necessarily, hopefully that means just you're a valuable worker, you're productive, great, but it's not necessarily going to be just as easy to go get another job in accounting or in the legal profession or whatever, because combined with AI, where a lot of those, you know, jobs are going to be automated, outsourced to technology, it's also going to be harder for you to go find jobs where you can provide the same level of value you might have been providing in one particular instance. And so I think people need to be extra cautious because incentives are just completely upended by a sound money standard like Bitcoin. So a lot of considerations. I think it's going to take a lot of people a lot of time and people are going to get wrecked because they understand Bitcoin, but they still sort of have this legacy fiat mindset that like, oh, I can just, you know, go find another way to make some more dollars. It's like, no, you don't need dollars now. You need Bitcoin to pay back this loan. And that is that's a much harder resource to come across. So something just for people to keep in mind. Alrighty, Documenting Bitcoin shared that the Bitcoin network has successfully achieved 900,000 blocks mined in 6,000 days of the longest unbroken cryptographic transaction chain in history. So I think at this point, it's safe to say it's probably not going to zero. Seems to be working. TikTok next block. There's a lot of FUD though still, right? I mean, clearly many people don't understand it. I don't necessarily have a particular question to ask, but just let you guys kind of cheer this on if you want to, Ben.
Yeah, I was going to say one of my favorite comebacks to any of the FUD servers that say anything about, oh, could it be hacked or could it go to zero or could X catastrophic event happen? I just tell them very low likelihood, more than zero. But every 10 minutes, it gets lower, lower, lower in possibility because it just keeps getting stronger and stronger as a network. And now we have a huge number to show them, 900,000, baby. We're going strong. Going to hit 1 million soon. How long are you going to keep picking a can on reality here? It's a beautiful thing to see it. And like you said, TikTok next block is just cranking along. We'd love to see it.
Tony, any follow-up to that?
Yeah, man, of course. 6,000 days, 900,000 blocks, zero bailouts, no corruption, you know, nothing, no reversals, you know, zero rulers. So Bitcoin just exposes the fiat system for what it is, a system created for, you know, lies, manipulation, and theft. And so as the governments continue to do this, Bitcoin just keeps producing incorruptible truth. So TikTok next block, which side do you want to be on? Which system do you want to comply with? System of thieves or the system of nobleness, right? Of truth. It's very easy, in my opinion. It shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out.
Well said. All right, last one for you. Just for fun, everyone. If you bought, so this is Carl B. Menger on Twitter. If you bought Bitcoin instead of every new iPhone, you'd have $242 million. So I know the pushback on this, that's crazy, but I know the pushback is going to be, yeah, but I didn't, and now it's too late. And like, you know, if I buy my next iPhone, it's not going to equate to $242 million in the future. Which I think, which might be valid. I don't know that forever we're going to have the same compound growth rate, because sometimes Bitcoin monetizes on a broad scale, and we probably see more modest growth aligned with like the growth of the economy versus, you know, 50% CAGR fueled by early adopters, recognizing where the world's headed. But this is a really interesting point for people to just consider the things that you're buying. What's the opportunity cost? Tony, I'll let you take this one first, because I think you sent something to me I haven't had a chance to look at, like a plugin that helps you evaluate the purchase you make it online versus if you just bought Bitcoin instead.
Yeah, the guys behind TFTC, they released this this extension called Opportunity Cost. And I think hands down, it's one of the most essential extensions you can install on your browser, because what it does is that anytime you navigate a website that shows a price, it just puts the Bitcoin price right next to it. So you see, like if you're monitoring a certain product, let's say, I don't know, a laptop, and you visit it every week or so, you will see how the Bitcoin price changes relative to the fiat number. And so it makes you, you know, maybe rethink, is it really worth it for me to buy this, or should I just hold out a little bit more? Now, this example about the iPhones, I mean, you can use it about anything, you know, if you go back, you know, long enough, you know, poke fun at people. But it's really to illustrate a point, is that over time, on a Bitcoin standard, you know, things cost you less. Now, they don't cost you more. And so it almost like reprograms your brain into, you know, reevaluating your purchases. I mean, again, do I really need it? Do I need a phone every single year? Can I, you know, my phone is good enough. It'll last me 4 or 5 years before I change it. You know, you put money, save money for better uses, just rather than just spending it, you know, on a whim, you know, putting yourself in debt for no reason and then, you know, trying to deal with that nightmare later on. So, yeah, man, living on a Bitcoin standard, everybody's life improves and they gets much cheaper, in many cases free, because we're still at the stage where Bitcoin's appreciation, you know, hasn't even started. And once that kicks off, you know, everybody's life gets a serious upgrade.
Yeah. Ben, you feel in low time preference these days?
Absolutely. And I have a different mindset on how I view and share this type of content, whether it's an experienced Bitcoiner or a no-coiner, because if it's a Bitcoiner who's been through all of the ego death of just realizing that you could have bought earlier and you didn't, then it's great reminder to look at that and think, wow, I need to stay on this track and get things like that extension you were talking about, Tony, which is a great tool. For no-coiners, though, maybe this is controversial. I don't share this kind of stuff on my normie channels, my Instagram, because I feel like that just makes them feel more like they missed out. So I save that one for the experienced friends, but it is...
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So I see how somebody might interpret it. Ah, damn it, I'm too late. You are definitely not too late, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just careful about who I share that out to, because for a lot of people, that is the biggest thing holding them back, is just thinking, oh, I'm too late, I missed it. And so by saying, oh, you would have done this thing in the past, you idiot, then you'd have so much Bitcoin. It doesn't really help them.
Yeah, I think that one of the traps, and I've fallen into it, you know, on many occasions, is like comparing the return that you've made in Bitcoin, you know, versus your friend's investment account or whatever, and, you know, the S&P 500. I think that people do come for number go up. I get all that. You know, I recognize like that's the first intriguing thing. But at the end of the day, the best way to orange pill people isn't to, because the bias of, well, it's not going to do that again, I missed out, I think is very strong. I think the more important thing is that people begin to understand the weaknesses and the cracks that are emerging in the fiat Ponzi. And once they wrap their head around, oh, like this can't last forever, the music's going to stop eventually, where do I need to be to position myself for success in that future? Then Bitcoin begins to make a lot more sense. And the fact that it has a great CAGR compared to every other investment on earth is just like an added bonus, right? So I think that's a very important point you make, Ben, and one that people would benefit from as they're trying to orange pill their friends and family. Alrighty, guys, I think that's a good place to wrap. Hey, Ben, why don't you give a handoff? Before you tell people where to find you, I just want to say, if anyone listening feels like their journey down the rabbit hole is going stale, you need to go check out Ben's podcast, because he will open your mind to possibilities of reality that you could never have imagined. And there is no topic off limits. So prepare to be potentially offended, shocked, amused, all of that. But Ben, tell people where they can find you.
Bro, we're about to break new ground. Breaking news. Just in the next hour, I'm going to upload an episode that's literally going to make me a criminal in 25 countries, including the one I'm living in right now. So
is that the sneak preview? You can't fill us in on what that might be.
No, you gotta watch it.
Okay.
But this was Shane Hazel. It's we're diving into the history, some historical things that we may have not been told the whole truth about. Michael, I think you might know a thing or two about that.
I have perhaps a feeling I know where this is going. Yeah.
And I'm a little nervous to release it, but man, you know how it is. The truth has to be spoken. We gotta keep getting out there and appreciate the love and to all the people supporting for following all the rabbit holes, because I feel like that's just what I feel like that's what the Bitcoin space needs, just more acceleration through all these other lies that we're told about, because the Bitcoiners are so primed to understand that, yes, we are lied about literally everything. We already know this. Now let's figure out more of those lies that actually change your paradigm of how you view who you are and how the world is, because these are huge mindset shifters that give us a better outlook on where we've been and where we're going as a species and individually as well. So all that said, Ben Werman podcast, it's I don't know if you could throw a link in the show notes for people, but yeah, the podcast is pumping out episodes. Follow me on Noster. I'm everywhere. Wherever you're listening to this, I'll be there. YouTube as well. Just find me and join along for the ride.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for joining. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. You'll hear a little bit about the Bitcoin way. Ben will get a link to that podcast up. And gents, as always, great talking. I will see you both in Prague very soon.
See you soon, man. Looking forward to it.
Cheers, guys.
Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and big brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.